چشمان مست سیاهت مبند، نازنی نازداری با موی کمند، از اول جلوه ها می کنی صد هزار، پس بگو جلوه هایت فروشی بچند.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Matthew Ho, a senior fellow at the Center for International Policy and the former director of the Afghanistan Study Group. A former Marine and State Department official, he resigned in protest from his post in Afghanistan over U.S. strategic policy and goals in Afghanistan. Previously, he served in Iraq, first with the State Department reconstruction and governance teams, and then in 2006 as a Marine Corps company commander. He worked on Afghanistan and Iraq policy and operations issues at the Pentagon and State Departments from 2002 to 2008, and in 2010, Matthew was named the Ridenour Prize recipient for truth-telling. He is a member of the board of directors of the Council for a Livable World and is the executive director of the Project High Hopes Veteran Speech Therapy Program. Welcome to Background Briefing, Matthew Ho.
Hi, Ian. Thank you for having me on.
And we're passing the 12th year mark of the U.S. and NATO war in Afghanistan. And, of course, this is a broken country, and we're talking about at a time when our government is broken. But just today on the BBC, President Karzai blamed NATO for not securing his nation and for bringing great suffering. And the partial list of candidates running in the next election to replace Karzai include Karzai's own brother, a pedophile, a warlord, and the mentor of the 9/11 mastermind. They're all running to succeed Karzai. So what does this say about Afghanistan's future?
It's not good, Ian. You know, I mean, I don't think anyone needs to be an international relations expert or a military veteran or a speaker of Pashto or Dari to know that this has been a failed endeavor in Afghanistan by the United States. The list of people who are vying to take over for Karzai himself is the top of a completely corrupt patronage network that serves as the Afghan government. Nobody disagrees with it. It's quite evident. There's plenty of evidence to that effect. And additionally, it's a government that's illegitimate. I was there in 2009 during the elections, during the presidential elections, and Karzai stole the elections, very clear. So we have failed to one, bring an end to the conflict. This is a war that was going on in Afghanistan long before we arrived. We basically entered into the midst of a civil war. So then we have failed to bring the war to an end. We have failed to bring democracy to Afghanistan because, again, what you have now is you have a sham. It's a kleptocracy, the very definition of a kleptocracy. In addition, we haven't done anything to better the lives of the Afghan people. The numbers that are presented by the U.S. government are patently false. The number of schools built, the number of hospitals built, they may exist on paper or in somebody's spreadsheet, but the reality is life has not gotten better for most Afghans, except for the corrupt few that we have put in power, who have embezzled most of the money that we have spent in Afghanistan trying to make life better for the Afghans. So it really is. It's really quite a disaster. I think if you were to write a novel about this or to write a screenplay, it would be thrown back at you and saying this is too over the top. But that's the reality of it.
But Matthew Ho, when Karzai is confronted with these facts about corruption, he always says, well, the people where most of the money was stolen were in these contracts, all of which the money didn't really leave the United States or in these NATO countries. So he really is accusing of not so much of trickle-down corruption in his country. He's saying that most of the theft happened within the contracting system itself. Is there anything to that?
Oh, sure. There's plenty of theft in it. Look, the corruption in Afghanistan is so vast that no one person or no one entity is responsible for all of it. It is vast. But just one example of the corruption in his government. One of his vice presidents several years ago, I believe it was 2010 maybe, but arrived in Dubai with $55 million in cash. We know this because of WikiLeaks. This is one of the things that WikiLeaks has shed light on for us. But yes, we see that where his vice president, Masood, shows up in Dubai with just crates of cash, basically. and that's throughout. I mean,
sure.
When I was there in 2009, I had two different Afghans tell me this. Neither of these guys knew each other. One was in the east, one was in the south. But they both said, you know, this is what we call the golden age, because it is a time to get the gold. And literally just fire hoses. I mean, and also, too, and you have to look at it in the sense of how much money was in the country beforehand and how much money were we pumping into the country. I mean, this is a country that we, at the height of our involvement there, we were spending $120 billion a year. And the country had a GDP of $12 or $14 billion. We have done nothing to build up the economy. It's not the only sustainable industry in Afghanistan. The only thing that has a value chain, you know, from start to finish, is the drug industry. Other than that, there is no industry. According to the U.S. Senate, about 95% of Afghanistan's legal GDP comes from foreign assistance. So when we pull out and we take all our money with us, there is nothing there. It will collapse.
Again, I'm speaking with Matthew Ho, senior fellow at the Center for International Policy and the former director of the Afghanistan Study Group, a former Marine and State Department official. He resigned in protest from his post in Afghanistan over U.S. strategic policy and goals in Afghanistan, and previously served in Iraq, first with the State Department's reconstruction and governance teams, and then in 2006 as a Marine Corps company commander. He worked on Afghanistan and Iraq policy and operations during the Pentagon, issues at the Pentagon and State Department from 2002 to 2008. Now, so this really brings to my mind the real question about the responsibility on our side, particularly people like General Petraeus. I mean, General Petraeus essentially saved George W. Bush's bacon by coming up with this surge, whether it was real or not. And obviously events in Iraq today certainly aren't pretty, so it doesn't look like anybody could call it a success. But Bush got himself into this pickle. He didn't know how to get out of it. He was in denial about how bad it was, and this very political general came up with a way to get out and essentially saved Bush's reputation, got his fourth star. Then he rolls Obama and says, you know, we've got to have another surge, just like this brilliant surge we had in Iraq. And it was a complete waste of lives, treasure. Mm-hmm. Is anybody holding these guys to account for what they've done?
No, there's no one being held for account. And in fact, they're lionized. They're promoted. When they retire, they get multiple jobs on boards of directors. They get honorary professorships or adjunct professorships at our nation's universities. And they're treated as some type of, they're almost like they're almost clerical, the way they're being treated, as if they are almost as if some type of religious order.
Or a kind of viceroy in the British colonial age, kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and it's true. I mean, in my statement on the American military is, look, the history of the American military since World War II has been, and this is what dumbfounds me, and remember, I'm a veteran of 10 years in the Marine Corps, what dumbfounds me is that the American military has the highest approval rating among American citizens of all our institutions in the country, yet it hasn't won a war since World War II. And about the only thing it proves itself good at is getting in and winning in the initial stages, winning in the very beginning of the war, but then finding itself in a quagmire, in a stalemate, and the only thing it's able to do is basically set conditions to retreat. And I think that's what Petraeus did so well in Iraq, or I guess he did two things. Well, one, he got his name out there. He was able to get his photo on the cover of Newsweek or Time. He could go to the Super Bowl and flip the coin, you know, start the Super Bowl, and everyone would love him. And when he told people that it was working, they believed him. And so the Americans were able to leave Iraq with this pretense that we had done well, that we had, things were bad, but then we pulled together. Petraeus went there with 20,000 more troops, and everything got into shape. Same thing was what the plan was for Afghanistan, was that we're going to surge military in Afghanistan, we're going to win this, and we'll be able to pull our troops back with our heads held high. And that is certainly not the case. I am afraid that because we've been able to keep American casualties low this past year, that what will be said about the Afghan war is that we send troops there, extra troops there, it made things somewhat better, and then we pulled out, and then the Afghans ruined it. The Afghans blew it. Once we turned over the Afghans, it all went to hell. You know, same with Iraq. Once everything was great in Iraq until we turned it over to the Iraqis. You know, and that's just not the case. You know, our escalation of the war in Afghanistan has made things worse. It has made the country more fractured. It's increased the strength of the insurgency. And when we leave, because we have not done the necessary political things to bring about negotiations, because we were so adamant that we were going to win militarily that we refused to negotiate, well, when we leave now, we're going to pull those troops out, we're going to pull all that money out, and it's going to be a vacuum, and things are going to be very, very bad in Afghanistan, just as in Iraq now, where we pulled our troops out and things became very, very bad, because we just wanted to make sure that we left looking like we were winners, or we left looking like things were going well while we were still there, which was total farce.
But Matthew Ho, as somebody that served in Iraq and in Afghanistan, and I'm sure some of your comrades have been wounded, many, many lose limbs, which seems to be the way of war from these IEDs, and many, of course, have died. To my mind, the idea that one of the candidates to replace Karzai as we leave for this new Afghanistan is the mentor of the 9/11 mastermind, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the guy that invited bin Laden into Afghanistan in the first place. And we know that the reason we went in there was because of 9/11 to go after him. To me, that's just breathtaking. I cannot believe that that's happening. That to me is the ultimate insult.
Exactly, Ian. And that's why I said earlier, if you wrote a novel about this, or you wrote a screenplay, no one would publish it. No one would make this film because no one would believe it. It's too over the top. But yes, it's true. You're absolutely right. Abdul Saif is the man who brought bin Laden into Afghanistan. And bin Laden went into an area that was not yet controlled by the Taliban. Several months after he got there, it became under their control, and he became basically their ward. But yes, and this is the man that a couple of years ago, Karzai wanted to lead the Afghan parliament. And now this past summer, Karzai said, this is one of my preferred candidates. And now he is a candidate as well, in his own right. He's teamed up, I believe, with Ismail Khan, who is from the west of Afghanistan, who is a very strict Islamist. And he is just as bad on women's rights and other issues as the Taliban were. So this notion somehow that we went in there to do the right thing is incredibly, incredibly just wrong. And it is, and you're right, Ian. I mean, it is insulting. It's terrible to us that, you know, we went there after 9/11, and now 12 years later, the guy who brought bin Laden to Afghanistan may well be the next president of Afghanistan.
Well, Matthew Ho, thank you so much for joining us here today. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Ian. You have a nice evening.
You too. Again, I've been speaking with Matthew Ho, who's a senior fellow at the Center for International Policy and a former director of the Afghanistan Study Group. A former Marine and State Department official, he resigned in protest from his post in Afghanistan over U.S. strategic policy and goals in Afghanistan, and previously served in Iraq, first with the State Department Reconstruction and Governance Team, and then in 2006 as a Marine Corps company commander. He worked on Afghanistan and Iraq policy and operations issues at the Pentagon and State Departments from 2002 to 2008. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about the $100 bill that's finally arrived.
फिर भी अंदर